Welcome to the Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Last time on the Laundry Hour, we began my new journey into Let Me Be a Woman by Elizabeth Elliot. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, I am so happy to have you. I would say, just to be in the same vein as the rest of us, to listen to last week's episode called The Weight of Wings to kind of understand where I'm going. And maybe the last couple of episodes to kind of understand where I've been. But just to give you a little heads up, I'm basically learning and trying to pursue this new faith, new-ish, because I've been a wife and a mom for a couple years now, but trying to figure out how to be faithful now in this current season of life that I'm in, and pursuing more holiness, more of God's presence, and continuing to grow. I am a firm believer that if we're not pursuing growth and wanting to be more like Christ, unfortunately we are not moving towards Him, but we're moving away from Him. So find something to pursue God more in, whatever that means and looks like for you. But last week we talked about the weight of wings and understanding that our special limitations as being women aren't actually limitations. They are in fact our gift. And one of those quote limitations is the choice to stay home, meaning we are not going out to do things, but in fact we're actually getting to stay in to do things. Really important, noble, extraordinary kind of things. So essentially last week is just me trying to encourage you all, but also myself, to fall head over heels into the season you're in, and to what God has called you to being a woman, to being a wife, and to being a mom. So last week was kind of this mindset shift to say, okay, this is my special gift and this is what I'm going to pursue. I'm not going to be sad and want to be something else. I'm going to say yes to who I am and to what is right in front of me, and do that with everything I've got, because I believe that that is what will please the Lord, that we would be faithful with what he's given us. So this week is kind of more a focus on us being wives. Because this whole book, Let Me Be a Woman, is written to her daughter as her daughter is about to get married. And if you remember from last week, Elizabeth Elliot has been single, married 3 times, and widowed twice. So that poor woman has loved and lost and loved and lost again. And so I kind of think she's got something to say to us about being a wife, don't you? This week is called Know Your Man, and Appreciate Him. She has 4 chapters, one right after another, called You Marry a Sinner, You Marry a Man, You Marry a Husband, You Marry a Person. So starting with You Marry a Sinner. Oh boy, isn't it so easy to write on lists things that we do not like about our husbands, as well as it is easy to write on a list the things that we do like about them. But why is it so easy to remember the things we don't like more and hold on to them? If we understand that we have married a sinner, and conversely that our husband has married a sinner, maybe, just maybe, we would give more grace and forgiveness to each other. Because of course we want to be forgiven and we want to be shown grace when we mess up and make mistakes, right? Why is it crazy that our husbands should want the same thing as well as expect the same thing from us? Right? I'm reminded about the Homes of Grace series that we did, and I had Danielle Richardson come on, and she was talking about how we can't be the best moms that we can be if we're not being the best wives that we can be first. And it's that unity and that relationship that we have as a couple that overflows into our children. And so that really encouraged me and convicted me, and brings me to today as I talk about the fact that my husband's a sinner and he deserves, well, none of us deserves, but because God has forgiven me and given me grace, I should extend the same thing to my husband over and over and over again. As well as the fact that I married a man. He's not a woman. Thank God for that, right? He is different than me, and he should be different than me. He parents our children differently than me. He works differently than me. He's built differently than me. He thinks differently than me. He does all of those things differently than me. I can't expect him to think and act like me. Towards me, he's going to act like him towards me, and that's very important to understand. One, to keep peace in your home, but two, just for your own expectation's sake, see him as a man and go to him as the man that he is. Hey, babe, you have a different perspective on this than I do. Help me in this, because together we have a better perspective. I don't know what your understanding of scripture is, and I totally used to have a scripture of the week, but in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about Christ in the church. You see the commands, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. Because the unity of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife together, reflects something really amazing. It reflects the unity between Christ and the church. What an awesome and terrifying responsibility that all married couples have. Our job is to reflect, like a mirror, the relationship that Christ has with his church and the church back with Christ. There should be loving leadership and loving submission completely happening. There should be a uniting of minds and experiences and gifts for the glory of God. Elizabeth Elliot says, "The glory of marriage is two separate and distinct kinds of being becoming united." You marry a man and he marries a woman. You guys are different and distinct. Yay! Enjoy the differences and how they come together rather than desiring your husband to be like you. Understanding, like, I know for so many people as well as for us, when you understand your husband's love language and he understands yours, it makes life so much easier. I'm not saying it's easier because now you're perfect at doing it. No, but it's easier because you're like, oh, duh, that's why he doesn't love me the way that I love me. You know? Oh, he receives love differently and he shows love differently. That's why. Okay. It makes so much sense. Once you understand the differences, and unfortunately we're not going to be able to understand all of them, but we have time and conversation and the Holy Spirit to help unite us and knit us as one. What a wonderful journey lies ahead of every married couple. So we marry a sinner, we marry a man, we marry a husband. I love this one. In this chapter, the thing that stuck out to me the most is husband is a verb. Let him husband you. Let him cherish you. Let him care for you. There are some women that in some ways desire this, but at the same time fight against a husband protecting and guarding and cherishing, nurturing his wife. Is that not what Christ does for the church? Is that not what a husband should do for a wife? So, wife, let him husband you. what does that mean? What do we have to lay down for that to happen? What is that hard? Is that exciting? And I mean, yeah, this is difficult because you could be saying, well, you don't know my husband. You're right, I don't know your husband. But if we believe in the same God, I do know your God. And I do know that he wants to say something to you through this message. Whether it's understanding that you married a sinner, or that you married a man, or that you married a husband, or even that you married a person that has thoughts and dreams and desires and has a past and experience that are all different than yours. And you have to become one with this person. So why I like that it says, know your man. Elizabeth Elliot said it to her daughter. She's like, know him. Get to know him. Like, let that be a journey you are on. What is he like? What does he like? What does he not like? What are his dreams? What are his hopes? What are his aspirations? What makes him tick? What makes him cry? What makes him feel appreciated? And that takes me to another segment, kind of. So as a woman who has been widowed twice, she says she very much understands how to appreciate someone. So these ladies wrote into on the subject about men snoring, and it said, wives wrote in complaining of countless hours of lost sleep and the irritation of that awful noise beside them in the bed, and others wrote offering solutions, but the discussion came to an end with one letter: snoring is the sweetest music in the world. Ask any widow. Wow. She goes on to say, if only there were some way for every wife to have the experience of losing her husband for a little time, even of thinking that he's dead, in order to regain the perspective she needs for genuine appreciation. I'm sure if we lost our husbands, the petty things that made us mad, that we didn't forgive, would seem small. The differences between the way he loves and we love, because he's a man and we're a woman, would seem very small. Don't you think? I don't want any of us to lose our husbands. But I do want every single one of us to appreciate them. God chose for us to have them, as well as we chose them. Why'd you fall in love with your husband? You know what initially drew you to him? Those things are still inside him, you know. Whether you've been married for a long time or a short time, how can you put those things in your mind's eye again? Think about them, draw on them, hope in them. She talks about, again in the chapter, that our job is to bring out those things that we see in them. You know, as a wife, we are the helper. We are to submit. I really love how this was explained once. Submission, two words, to submit to a mission, right? There is a job to be done, and we are the ones to help that job get done. Okay, so the mission of all believers of Jesus Christ is to make disciples. Okay, how do we help our husbands do that? The mission is to glorify God. How do we help our husbands do that? If that is the goal and that is the task at hand, my goodness, what purposeful work. It's not just being with someone anymore. It's like, no, I'm being with someone for the purpose of doing something. Some big thing. Now I can't just, you know, laxingly let life go by. No, I'm intentionally pursuing to know my man and to appreciate him, to know him, to submit to the mission that God has given him, to help it come to pass. That is my job. Again, I am to help people do things, and without me, they can't get it done. Right kind of pride, remember? Not the wrong kind of pride. But we've been given a pretty awesome job to do. I think if we just change our minds for a second, we would see that we are worthy. Truly worthy. Elizabeth says also in the book, the measure of self-giving is the measure of fulfillment. So this podcast was started in this, oh my gosh, I want mothers to find purpose because it is out there for them. For these stay-at-home moms that are feeling very unfulfilled. My question is, are you giving of yourself? Are you giving of yourself to the mission of God? Because if you are giving of yourself to the mission of God as one of his children who love him, you should never, ever, ever feel unfulfilled. Truly unfulfilled. There may be things in your life that you wish were not true. And there may be things in your life that you're still hoping for, but fulfillment at the core, that would not exist in your life. I think sometimes we just sit again and wait and do nothing, unfortunately, other than complain, rather than saying, okay, God has chosen me to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm a wife to this man. I'm a mother to these children. I'm going to do this to the best of my abilities. I promise you, if you begin that journey, you will find fulfillment that you have never, ever found before, because it will be found in accomplishing the mission of God. I truly believe that. Can I pray over you? Father, we need you. We need you to help us know our man. You have given us this man that is your son with a mission and talents and dreams and sinful tendencies and mannish ways and husband-like heart. Help us to appreciate them, to love them, to serve them, and to help them accomplish the mission you have given them. Please give us a new mindset shift to see that the role you've given us is extraordinary, and to find true fulfillment in giving ourselves to your mission. Forgive us for how we have been delaying that and aimlessly wandering. We desire to be faithful. We desire to be fruitful. We desire to have fulfillment in our life. Maybe even for the first time ever. So we thank you. We're looking forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you liked today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you gotta have it, please write a review. I would truly love to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week to hear more about my journey as we get to more of the chapters, because eventually she will talk about motherhood. And I'm excited to see how that kind of shapes and reshapes where I am on that, and hopefully then where we are on that. But until then, I will leave you with 2 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus rest on you and your families. I love you.